And welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone. Oh, happy day.
Happy, happy.
Beautiful fall weather we're having, isn't it?
It sure is.
I love it.
And you've been, apparently you've been, do we want to talk about politics at all?
I'm kind of over it. I mean, obviously we should mention the debate last night, which I thought Harris killed. Also sort of difficult to take him seriously when there was a big fly on his head for the majority of the debate.
The fly now has like thousands of followers.
Yeah. I actually posted something funny, a picture of him with the fly, and I said, oh, flies of the United States, stand by. Stand down and stand by.
Stand by and stand.
Stand down and stand by.
Stand by, yeah. And then there were the memes with RBG saying, I put the fly there.
I saw a couple of them that were, you know, there was that picture of Chris Christie on his beach chair that kept popping up in places.
Yeah, and it was on his head.
It was on his head.
Oh, I know.
Okay, but on the serious side, I thought it was a civil debate. It was nice that, you know, they were respectful of one another. And we did actually hear some answers, although, you know, from my point of view, there were a lot of lies being thrown around.
Right.
Mistruths, tweaks in policy that, you know, it's so funny. One side says, you know, the negative part of the policy. The other side says the positive part of the policy. And again, it's not black and white. It's gray. So we're hearing the black and we're hearing the white, but we're not hearing the in-between. But it was productive. I really like her a lot. And I think it was, you know, it was, again, difficult for the moderator. And he kept running over his time. And then when the next question was asked, he was backtracking and going to the previous question and not answering the question at hand. It was a little frustrating to not get some clear answers. But anyway, everybody knows where we stand. I love her. I really do. So I did not do my, the culinary trip around the world this week because I had my quote unquote quarantine kids were back. They got a new puppy and they wanted him to be able to run around in the grass for a few days. So they got here on Friday and they left yesterday. So they were here for like 6 days with the puppy. So I did not get to the international food. Although I did make some interesting dishes, you know, I think you probably remember from when Ryan and his fiance were here during quarantine for those 10 weeks. They're healthful eaters, you know, they eat really clean. So I made a couple of dishes. One night it was very interesting. Ryan told me about a friend of his who had just made something and I did a little bit of research on it, but basically I didn't like any of the recipes I saw, so I sort of made it up myself. I made chicken and sweet potato burgers.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were really good. And I basically just made them the way I would make like a zucchini burger or any vegetable burger. And I shredded this raw sweet potato. And I added ground chicken breast and I doctored it up a little bit with some herbs and spices. I wanted to get a little bit more flavor out of it. So basically I made sort of like a barbecue sauce with onion and a little honey and tomato product and cloves. I made sort of a thick barbecue sauce and then I mixed that into the mixture of chicken and sweet potatoes. And they were delicious. They were really, really good.
So this is interesting to me that you grated the sweet potato from raw state.
Yeah. And put just it like in- I would do if I was making, if I were making potato pancakes, you know, I would grate raw potato.
Right.
Or if I were making zucchini burgers, I would grate raw zucchini. And it really, they took on a really nice texture with the sweet potato. It was pretty much a 50-50 ratio of chicken to sweet potato. And with the addition of the barbecue sauce, it added, you know, some interesting flavor and a little bit of, you know, thickness to it. And they were juicy. They were good. They were really, really good.
I would imagine, though, that I'll bet you there are plenty of recipes out there with sweet potato in a burger, which would call for cooked, mashed sweet potatoes, which I think by adding it shredded raw would add an element of texture.
Texture and also moisture. You know,
right.
if you're doing, and some of the recipes did have mashed. I don't know. I kind of feel like when you cook it, and mash it and then mix it in, it becomes almost like that's how I would make a croquette, or that's how I would make a fish cake or a salmon cake. You know, I would have a mashed potato sort of base and then add to it. But it was very good. They were really, really yummy. And with that, I made something that I made a lot during quarantine. Ryan loves roasted Brussels sprouts and cauliflower.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a combination of roasted Brussels. I just did straight Brussels sprouts and straight cauliflower florets that I just put some oil, salt, pepper, a little bit of crushed garlic, a little bit of crushed red pepper, and just tossed it and roasted both of them separately.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they were done, I mixed them together in a bowl, and what I put on top of it to sort of mix in as a flavor additive, which was, I thought, delicious, was a combination of rice wine vinegar and Dijon mustard.
Huh.
And a little salt and pepper. And there was a bit of oil residue on already, like had the roasted vegetables been a little bit drier, I might have added some oil to that little mixture. And I just tossed that in, the vinegar and the mustard. I tossed it in with the roasted vegetables. It was delicious, like really, really good. The mustard and vinegar combination is not something I normally would put together. I think it would work equally well on anything, you know, like sauteed zucchini or green beans or, you know, broccoli. It was really a nice combination. It was good.
Yeah, so I mean, the vinegar and the mustard are both sort of on the tangy side, but I would imagine the mustard still had that other element. It's not just tang, it's also a lot of straight
like pickle
mustard
salt, and yeah, it was good. It was good. It was really delicious.
Nice.
That's pretty much it. I haven't really been cooking. The reason they came down this past weekend is in honor of Annie's husband, Brian, who is the father of, you know, Ryan and Molly and Kelly. They have a golf tournament every year. So he had a golf tournament on Saturday, and we had a big outside, pretty socially distanced barbecue. And I did just traditional stuff. I just made, I marinated some chicken thighs with that lemon, garlic, soy marinade that I pretty much put on everything. Mm-hmm. I made burgers and hot dogs, and I had a couple of different side dishes. Oh, one that was interesting. I was going to make tabbouleh, and mm-hmm. I could not find bulgur wheat anywhere. No.
Really?
I went to like three different stores. I couldn't find it. Went to Whole Foods, went to ShopRite, went to the health food store in Flemington. Couldn't find bulgur. Apparently there's a lot of the grains that are coming into the country because of COVID, or the shipments are delayed or pushed back, or the production is halted.
Wow.
So
I had trouble finding bulgur.
Yeah.
Within recent months, at a pretty well-equipped and stocked ShopRite.
Yeah.
Which is our big store in this neck of the woods. And they just didn't have any. It was so weird.
Yeah. And I spoke to the manager at ShopRite. She actually made a couple of phone calls to me because there's, you know, there's that dry mix. It's like in the rice section. And it's in a box and it has all different types of grains. There's like couscous mixes and bulgur mixes and quinoa mixes. It's called Far East is the brand. Mm-hmm. So they had quite a lot of Far East products there, but I didn't see the just straight bulgur.
Right.
So I went up and I spoke. Sorry?
It was mixed in with the other grains.
Well, you know, usually they have an assortment of, you know, they're like not ready-made, but easy, quick herb mixes with grains. But they also sell just plain old straight bulgur, which of course I looked in the grain section, I looked in the rice section, I looked everywhere, but I was like, well, this could be my last resort. I'll see if they have it in this package section. And I went up and I spoke to the manager. I was like, why can't you get this? I don't understand. There's all these other products from Far East, but not the bulgur. And she was the one that told me, you know, because of the pandemic, you know, there's a lot of things that they're not getting shipments on. So in any event, I had already purchased all of the ingredients to make tabbouleh. So I had tomatoes, I had cucumbers, I had mint, I had a ton of parsley, I had everything that I would normally put in a tabbouleh. So I made it with quinoa.
Yeah.
And it was really, really delicious. I almost like it better than the bulgur.
Yeah, I've done it. I've done it with quinoa. I've also done it with a virtually no carb version with cauliflower and just, you know, riced the cauliflower, no cook. You know, just raw.
Raw.
And then when the cauliflower like kind of marinates with the olive oil and the lemon juice, it gets a little bit softer.
Right.
And I mean, I could eat, you know, a gallon of it. It's like so good.
Yeah, this was really delicious. I actually I always cook for an army. So I made a lot of it. I had a big bowl of it. And then what didn't fit in the bowl, I had another container in the refrigerator. So, you know, over the past couple of days, when these guys are working from home, they always break for lunch and they make a big salad and they were throwing it in there and Mario's been eating it. And I brought a little container to Uncle Joe and he loved it. And he was like, what is this stuff? Like, he has no idea what quinoa is. So
right.
I was trying to explain it to him and he absolutely loved it. So, I might make it that way instead of bulgur in the future.
Well, then it's also gluten. What a huge thing is gluten free when you use the quinoa.
Right. And like packed with, you know, although bulgur wheat certainly has protein element to it, but quinoa, you know, nothing compared to the minerals and essential vitamins in quinoa. So yeah, I think I'm going to make it that way in the future. It was really delicious.
Nice.
What else? I made something. Of course, I have to make something that's decadent. So I made a big thing of macaroni and cheese. And tomatoes and mozzarella and a really good batch of pesto. I could eat tomatoes and fresh mozzarella and basil leaves with pesto for every meal. Like one morning I put it in a pan and I like just heated it slightly because now I have all these shingled pieces that I had out on a platter and I just heated it very quickly. And then I fried some eggs and put some fried eggs on top of it. Oh my God, it was delicious. With a dollop of pesto on top. It was so good.
Fried eggs?
I didn't eat the egg part. Everyone else ate the egg part, but just the warmed tomato with the mozzarella that was slightly getting a little gooey and warm. With basil leaves. It was so good.
I could do that with hard-boiled egg. I could put a bunch of chopped hard-boiled egg on top. I can't do the fried egg with raw yolk or anything like that. But
I can't even do hard-boiled. I can't do eggs at all. The only eggs I'll eat are the only eggs I will eat are eggs that are have so much stuff in them that it's basically the egg is just, you know, holding everything together. So I make frittatas that have a lot of vegetables. I make egg casseroles with, you know, tons of spinach and mushrooms. Or if I'm making a meat one, I'll put, you know, ham or sausage or bacon. But it's not about the egg for me. I'm just not an egg person. My brother's ruined me. My brother Paul used to have a soft boiled egg every morning. And he used to, you know, the yolk would be gooey. And it just grossed me. And then he would tell me, you know what this is, right? Like, you know, this is a chick came out of a chicken's butt. And like, just, he did what big brothers do to little sisters. Like, he totally grossed me out about it. And just the smeared yolk would just freak me out. Uh-uh. Can't do it. We have a minute left.
All right, well, we'll kind of let this minute run out by talking about what I'd like to touch base on.
Did you mention Native American food?
I did, and you know, I really didn't have time to do the in-depth analysis that I really think it deserves, but there was one page I found, like I was thinking, you know, that we've been talking about all of these international cuisines and trying to get down to the indigenous part, you know, right. Get down to the origins of the cuisine. And so Native American came to mind. And so there's this guy, and I'll look up his name on the website, but it took him years of research, but he had shared with the New York Times like 10 recipes from different tribes, from different Indian tribes. I've got a couple of vegan notes. Homemade butter is one of them, but we'll talk about it when we come back.
Okay, that sounds good. We'll be back in a few.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Attention Medicare recipients and anyone turning 65. Medicare has approved new benefits not included with original Medicare and older Medicare Advantage plans. You may not be getting all of the benefits you're entitled to, including in-home aids, telephone appointments with your doctors, home-delivered meals and prescriptions. These benefits may be available and it's a free call to enroll. The new plans may also offer free eyeglasses, free hearing aids, free wellness visits, and gym memberships. Call the Medicare benefits line now. It's easy. Call 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. Find out if you're eligible for new benefits like meal and prescription delivery, in-home aids, and telemedicine. Some plans may have a $0 monthly premium or zero copays for big out-of-pocket savings. Not all Medicare Advantage plans are alike. The new plans have more benefits for many people. Call 800-663-7292.
800-663-7292. 800-663-7292.
And welcome back to Food for Thought.
And we're back.
We're back. So I just got to mention one note. Remember, I think it was the last show or the one before, I'm working for some vegan clients right now. And so they've introduced me to some amazing products. And I tried, there's a company, it's called VioLife, V-I-O Life. They do amazing cheeses, apparently.
Okay.
So I hadn't been able to sample one, but they had bought their feta. So I took a slice of it. Laura, you would not know that it was
really
vegan. It was delicious. It was creamy. It was not dry, crumbly, like that crappy.
And what feta. And what's it made from?
I don't know. I don't know. But it was, I'm not kidding. I'm sure it was a fortune. That's the product. The problem with some of these products is that they're super expensive. And sometimes these products that are vegan doesn't necessarily mean that everything in it is so healthy, or they're using healthy oils. You'll find a lot of canola oil, soybean oil, you know, some of the stuff that you really don't want to have. But I kind of glom onto the products that are made from safflower oil or coconut oil. Mm-hmm. So I looked up a recipe for vegan butter, and I'm going to compare it to some others, but I honed in on one.
Uh-huh.
Basically, it consists of refined coconut oil.
Okay.
To which you add a small amount of nutritional yeast. Have you ever used nutritional yeast?
With baking, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So nutritional yeast, I guess it has kind of a salty, salty flavor to it. So refined coconut oil, nutritional yeast, and then when you're sort of blending that, so you let the oil kind of get to room temperature and get liquefied. Mm-hmm. And you're blending that. Now I'm going to, if you're using canola oil, which I don't want to use, you would have the canola oil in there.
Right.
And I want to use olive oil. It said you can, there's an option for that. But if you're going to use olive oil, you have to add it toward the end, because apparently in this sort of blending process, it can make extra virgin olive oil even more bitter or intense. So it tells you to add it at the end.
Huh.
So as you're blending the refined coconut oil and the nutritional yeast, it says to take some almond milk and add some, like a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar. And it's supposed to curdle.
It's curdling, right?
Curdling it so it becomes like the buttermilk of the equation.
Right.
So then you take that curdled mixture and you add it to your refined coconut oil, your nutritional yeast.
And what do you do this in, the food processor or blender?
It says a blender. Mm-hmm. So it probably, I don't even have a blender right now. I would probably try to do it in the Quies, but
right.
And then at the very end, just when you want it, you can even just stir it in if you want. You take your very small portion, the quantities are, 90% the coconut oil.
Right.
And just a little bit of the olive oil. Now, in this recipe, it also suggested that you add a tiny bit of turmeric for some color. But I don't really need or want that because
So now you've mixed it up and it coagulates. I'm assuming it emulsifies.
It does, but then it's still extremely thin.
Right.
So then you pour it into some sort of butter dish. Or whatever, and then apparently it takes 5 minutes to put this thing together, but it takes much longer for it to solidify in the refrigerator.
Right.
And so once it's fully chilled, then it will have the consistency of butter.
You put any salt in it?
I think the nutritional yeast is supposed to take care of that. I probably would add a little bit of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm just going to taste it and see, because I like salty,
I like salt butter.
But this stuff that I've been eating at my client's house, which is the company, it starts with an M again, and I'll have to look it up, Mayo something. And it sounds like a Greek name or something, but it's this vegan butter. I'm telling you, you could just eat it with a spoon. It's delicious.
That sounds good.
You know, butter, you know, I sort of, if I took butter and it was cold and I took a little piece of it and I were to eat it, I wouldn't really be tempted to keep going. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, but this stuff is just so delicious. And if I can
figure
out
a way. And it tastes like butter.
Yeah. Almost better.
Oh, here. It's the one you were talking about last time, Miyoko's.
Yeah, Miyoko's. Miyoko's makes the most unbelievable vegan butter. However, it's $6 for 8 ounces.
Wow. That's a lot. So,
that's a lot. Yeah. So the reason why I'm trying that, I'm ordering this stuff on Amazon, because I think for a fraction of that, I could make my own.
Make a tub of it.
Make a tub of it for, you know, I think I could make maybe 2 pounds of it for approximately $10.
Right.
So that's what, you know, 4 times 6, that would be $24 right. with the store.
If you purchased it, right.
So I'm going to try that. I'm going to try
that. I have a question. So I know there's 2 children in the family. Do they also eat vegan?
They eat vegetarian, but the parents let them have dairy, so they have cheese. They don't really eat eggs. They also there's a product called Just Egg, and I actually had one for lunch, and it's pretty darn delicious, and it's made from mung bean sprouts, and it looks like a folded egg, you know, like an egg, an omelet that's been folded into a square, and it's absolutely delicious.
You're kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. It's awesome.
Right.
So these products are making me feel like I could be vegan if I wanted to. I have no desire to be vegan.
Right.
I don't have an aversion to dairy or eggs. However, what I am trying to do is get some better oils. And that's what I'm trying to get away from, the canola and the vegetable oil. Mm-hmm. And not every vegan product, you know, there's a vegan mayonnaise that they make, but it's made with canola oil. I don't want that.
Right.
So I use the Hellmann's. Hellmann's makes a
vegan. Vegan, right.
So that is actually, it's the only one on the shelf. Now, I'm not in a health food store. I'm in a typical shop, right?
Right.
The only one on the shelf that is not made from soybean oil. Most mayonnaises are made with soybean oil.
Right.
Some vegan or veganaise, I think it's what it's called, is made from canola oil. The Hellmann's vegan mayonnaise is made from safflower oil.
Oh, okay. So
it's the only one on the shelf, and it's actually really good. Like I could.
Mario buys it. Mario likes that
mayonnaise. Right, the vegan.
I think he likes it has a slightly different consistency to it. It's not as oily.
Right. It has just as much fat as regular mayonnaise. It doesn't congeal the same way.
I think it has more, for lack of a better ingredient, it's like water or whatever it's emulsified with. It's not just the oil. It's like thinner.
Yes. So yeah. I could see it.
It's probably water.
If you were to shake it up to compare it to mayonnaise, if you were to put mayonnaise in, you know, a container with some water or with vinegar, and you were to shake it a couple of times, it would take a lot to break up that mayo. This vegan version of Hellmann's, I think, would happen a lot more quickly. It's just a little more liquidy.
It just has a higher moisture content.
Right.
So the Native American food that you were starting to talk about, from my recollection, wasn't it just like grains and squashes and like corn other things were Native American?
When you think about it, just like we discussed last week, you know, if you were trying to break down American cooking, it's all over the board because you have your West Coast, your East Coast, your South, Southern states.
And influences from Europe or wherever that those people came from, right?
So the interesting thing, and this is why I think we could probably do a whole show on it if we decided to, but with Native American cuisine, so to speak, I mean, it was very simple times back then, but it's really based on what grew. So Native Americans, you have them from Alaska down to Mexico. Right. So, you know, the difference is now there's a lot of, I think what you're going to find in a lot of Native American cuisine is corn.
Right.
I think it was corn.
Potatoes.
Beans, corn, beans, potatoes, squashes are like the predominant. But of course,
wheat.
What's that?
Wheat. So wheat products, things made from wheat, bread.
Right. And also all that goes along with, I don't think there were many vegan Native Americans. I think they were bison and rabbit and, you know, deer and
squirrel.
Dog and squirrel. And it was, you know, meat was
elk. Those. Yeah.
But I could just
bear.
Touch on to bear, you know, who knows, whatever they could kill, they ate. This guy's name, and I guess he's fairly well known. His name is Sean Sherman. Mm-hmm. And he's the founder of The Sioux Chef. And of course, Sioux is spelled S-I-O-U-X.
Like the Sioux Tribe. Company, that's awesome.
The Sioux Tribe, a company devoted to indigenous foods, created recipes to showcase tribal diversity across the lower 48 states. Now, this took him years to do all of this.
Wow.
And so I'm going to have to do some more research on, you know, to get a bunch of books and stuff. But basically in this particular article, which is if you're searching for it online, it's with the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And it's called Sean Sherman's 10 Essential Native American Recipes. Our team connected with indigenous chefs, farmers, seed keepers, academics, and leaders, because there's this whole sort of holistic herbal element that was also a very big part of Native American cooking.
Right.
So herbs and sage and different things that they believed would help with illnesses. Anything from wild manzanita berries, which I've never heard of, acorn, berry compotes, like berries that are no longer, you know, readily available. So anyway, he put together 10 essential recipes, and one was bison pot roast with hominy.
Okay.
I'm not going to go to the, I'm not for right now. I mean, we can maybe share the link on our show so people can actually look at the actual recipe. But apparently, bison. Apparently, there's something about bison that has even more protein.
Oh yeah,
than other meats. It's lean. It's healthier. Hominy apparently brings a substance that's sort of sweet and nutty to the stew.
Mm-hmm.
And then a small branch of foraged white cedar adds a woodsy note. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, wow.
Put a, you know, a white cedar in the stew just to have it, you know, impart the flavor.
Cedar. Wow. So, you know, there's that bison farm up in Flemington.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really a great meat. It's very high in protein, very high in nutrients, more than, you know.
Better than beef for you, but better than cow meat, definitely.
Better than anything, yeah.
Another recipe.
Although I'm not a fan of it, it is gamey.
Yeah, I mean, I don't eat red meat enough to want to track down some bison, you know. But you know, I have red meat maybe once a month. It's just not my go-to. I enjoy it when I have it, but it's not something I feel. And again, I think it's a cost thing. The red meat that I do like tends to be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if there's something in my diet that is apparently not that great for me and I'm not crazy for it, I'm going to get rid of it. So,
right. Yeah. We don't eat a lot of red meat either, but I do know that bison and, you know, I remember that farm. I think I took some nieces or nephews up there at one point. And, you know, just the benefits were startling.
Right. And bison and buffalo, you know, same, mm-hmm. same difference really. But another recipe, again, I'm not going to the recipes, but just descriptions, roasted turnips and winter squash with agave glaze. I've never made an agave glaze.
Neither have I, although I've made glazes with honey.
Yeah. Yeah.
So same, you know, same sweetness, same caramelization factors.
Right. Right.
Nice.
And apparently the agave, in this particular recipe, it's also got toasted sunflower seeds in it for some crunch, which I thought I would, I love sunflower seeds. I wish, I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's a ton of recipes. Everybody goes toward the
sesame
seeds, but sunflower seeds are great.
I love them.
Pumpkin seeds. I love pumpkin seeds. I'm sure there's a lot of those in.
Me too. I love them in a salad.
Yes, and it's really important to toast them. It's really important to pan. I always pan, do them in the pan. It adds just another depth of flavor as, you know, toasted any nut.
Right.
Another one is roast turkey with berry, mint sauce, and black walnuts would sounded really good to me. I like sweet with savory meat. Not a lot of Europeans do not like that, but I do. Here's one. Have you ever heard of tepary beans? Tepary beans, T-E-P-A-R-Y?
Tepary? No.
What's the time?
Just a few.
Okay. Oh, we're running out of time.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
So there's a whole bunch of, I'm sure we could probably, if we were to really study this, the whole list of beans that we've never heard of, or, you know, seeds.
Absolutely.
We've never heard of. You know, I would love to delve into this a little further. So we're going to run out of time. I'm just going to finish up with Native American cuisine when we come back and whatever else comes to mind.
Sounds great. We'll be back.
Can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that?
I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way.
We'll help you instantly. Call 844-606-8411. That's 844-606-8411.
Attention Medicare recipients and anyone turning 65. Medicare has approved new benefits not included with original Medicare and older Medicare Advantage plans. You may not be getting all of the benefits you're entitled to, including in-home aids, telephone appointments with your doctors, home-delivered meals and prescriptions. These benefits may be available and it's a free call to enroll. The new plans may also offer free eyeglasses, free hearing aids, free wellness visits, and gym memberships. Call the Medicare benefits line now. It's easy. Call 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. Find out if you're eligible for new benefits like meal and prescription delivery, in-home aids, and telemedicine. Some plans may have a $0 monthly premium or zero copays for big out-of-pocket savings. Not all Medicare Advantage plans are alike. The new plans have more benefits for many people. Call 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. 7292.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7
1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Welcome back. Yes, food for thought. I just wanted to mention before we delve into or finish up with, at least for now, I think when I read this one article, I thought, wow, I could study this for a year, you know, in terms of trying to really boil down, so to speak, the different regions and the different tribes.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure within the different tribes, you know, Sioux versus Cherokee versus whoever.
Hopi.
Probably Hopi. There was probably, and there's hundreds of tribes, but there's probably some differences that are not only based on the location and the ingredients that were readily available, but probably some mystical beliefs.
Oh, I'm sure.
That were different from tribe to tribe.
Yeah. Just like any culture, you know, even, you know, pick a country and you're in the north, you're in the south, you're in a different area. They have different cultures, different cuisines, different herbs. Yeah, absolutely. It's different definitely cultures. Interesting.
Of course, it's much more based on survival, but I'm sure they, you know, the Native Americans, you know, they had a lot of different cultural and mystical and spiritual beliefs that I think were also attributed to the cuisine that they were proud of.
Right.
So I'm interested to, you know, when I have some extra time. Speaking of time, the reason why I'm kind of rushing today is I start a new, what I'm calling aerobic dance fusion.
Okay.
In addition to being a former chef, nanny, caterer, I also teach fitness classes.
Well, as I well know, because that's how we met.
That's right. And so I was thinking that I should write a pilot for a sitcom. And I'll be like Fran Drescher, you know, the nanny, but it'll be like, what won't she do for money? You know, he keeps showing up at the door with a new hat on, you know, my chef hat, my artsy outfit for selling artwork, my fitness instructor, my nanny, Mary Poppins, whatever.
So you're still doing Zumba, but now you're going to start another.
Well, I'm starting a class actually right after the show. I'm starting a class and I don't call it Zumba anymore because I can't, because my class does not follow Zumba formula in that it's not 70% international rhythms and 30% whatever you want.
Right.
It's kind of flipped. I do 70% of whatever I want.
Whatever you want.
And 30% international rhythms. And so it's anything from, I mean, I can have a playlist that will have, you know, Redneck Woman by Gretchen Wilson.
Yeah, which I know.
Mac the Knife by Bobby Darin.
Or Pitbull.
Or Pitbull. Or, right. You know, I don't get into like Puddle of Mud or, you know, stuff like that. But
no, your classes are great. And if anybody, any of your listeners are looking for fun, upbeat, sweaty, you know, work your tail off classes, your classes are awesome.
Well, this one is special to me. I don't normally plug my classes, but this one is special to me. If mm-hmm. anyone out there listening in any part of the world, but specifically in the States, there's an organization called Evolve Pink. And it is an organization that supports women who have survived breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And so when they first put this together, they have one element of Evolve Pink is devoted to fitness.
Okay.
And so they reached out. So they're providing about, you know, several classes a week that members of Evolve Pink can take for free. You know, you have to be a survivor of, you know, breast cancer,
right.
They can take them for free. And it's great because I can have my girls, a handful of my girls, come and join the class. Mm-hmm. They're paying me to do it. So it's a little sketchy in my book in terms of I shouldn't be making money on this with my girls, but this is the way we're setting it up. And the way I'm looking at it is just more exposure for the organization.
Right.
When they started this, it was a few months before COVID had happened, mm-hmm. and they thought, oh no, what are we going to do? Well, they found that they have a much bigger reach since they had to do it over Zoom.
Right.
They have a much bigger reach. Apparently within 4 minutes or 5 minutes of her posting my class, she said, I have 4 people signed up for it.
Wow, and that's awesome.
In the first 5 minutes. So I'm really excited, but I've got a lot to do. Once we finish this show, I got to make sure I can pull this off.
And is it you're going to keep stick to your format a little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much the same, you know.
Totally stick to my format.
Good, but it's a whole new audience. That's great.
Whole new audience. So I'm excited about that. But
good.
That's awesome. It's Evolve, EVOLVE, pink.org.
Okay.
So if you want to support the organization, take the class, whatever, but you can donate, you can take classes, whatever you want to do. So anyway, so back to, I'm up to, so when we parted for the last segment, it was Tipperary beans. Apparently the small Tipperary beans that grow in the harsh, dry American Southwest are an heirloom variety that has been cultivated and harvested wild by countless generations in the Native American people. Mm-hmm. The seed savers even protected them during the Long Walk of 1864. I don't know what that is, but it's an amazing
migratory trek.
Yes. It's an amazing bean that can withstand and even prosper in the most extreme heat and drought. And the white variety I use here is slightly sweet and nutty. And the brown variety has an earthier flavor. I'd love to try to find these beans, but these beans are made
with a
chili agave glaze. Again, using the agave, but
right.
Man, does that sound good?
And the beans are like a legume bean or like a seed pod, like a green bean, like a pod? Or are they legumes, like a bean, a dry bean?
I would assume they're a legume only because they withstand the harshest, driest temperatures with growing them. So that's just my assumption.
Okay. I'll look them up. I'll post a picture.
Yeah, maybe we can post a link to this guy's recipes for anybody who wants to look.
Sure.
And really look into specific ingredients. This one is called Rocky Mountain Rainbow Trout with trout eggs.
Okay, so it's got some roe in there.
Got some roe, and I wish I could show you the picture. If I knew how to share my screen, I could do that. I don't know how to do that, but it's got this trout that's kind of butterflied open, and it's got the head and tail on, thank God. I don't think anyone was taking the heads and tails off back then.
No. And
it's got this roe all over it with some beautiful chopped green herbs, which...
It sounds delicious.
This one, the cooks from the Shoshone tribe, among other, make delicious meals using the entire fish, wasting nothing. Cheeks and eyes are considered a delicacy, as is the roe. Can't wait to try that one. Chia. I wouldn't have guessed that one, but chia pudding with, and here you're going to love this. Chia pudding with berries and popped amaranth.
Yes, I told you.
I know.
I told you. Amaranth is like...
I know, but Laura...
Miracle popped, food.
Popped amaranth.
Yeah.
You can have popped amaranth?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, I'm just saying. I didn't know. When the berries are ripe, they turn burned red hue, and they get kind of sticky. I don't know, popped amaranth. I have to try that.
Well, it's a grain, so you can pop, you know, just
pop like corn.
Like corn is popped.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's one called seared salmon with crushed blackberries and seaweed.
That sounds
How cool good. Is that?
That sounds delicious.
So that must have, obviously, that was a tribe that was near the coast, because that's where you get seaweed from. I would imagine you don't.
Yep.
That's where seaweed grows.
You're not getting seaweed inland.
That's right. So seared salmon with crushed blackberries and seaweed. I would love to look this one up because I would have never thought to incorporate berries. I have seen recipes with salmon with blueberry sauce and stuff like that, but crushed blackberries and seaweed was very intriguing to me. Wild rice and berries with popped rice. Have you ever had popped rice?
I have had popped rice. It's kind of like it's mixed into salads in the vegan in Whole Foods. They have popped rice.
In the what? You froze.
Oh, in the I froze? Really?
Yeah, now you're unfrozen.
Okay.
But anyway, you said you had popped rice?
Yeah, in Whole Foods. They have salads in the case at Whole Foods that have popped rice in them.
Well, I'm going to pop my own rice.
You could pop your own rice, but it's basically like, what's the breakfast cereal? Like puffed rice. You know, the breakfast cereal, it's like
puffed rice. Now right? I'm not as excited anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. It's just okay. Popped. It's just the grain little... that's popped. Okay. But it's a nice texture. It's spongy. It's good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one is called Three Sisters Bowl with hominy beans and squash. I do not do hominy enough, I have to say. I kind of forget about it, which is why I like when we scroll through recipes, because I get reminded like, oh yeah, hominy. Why aren't I doing that more often? Do you cook with hominy ever?
No. I mean, we make hominy grits, or we used to make hominy grits in the cafe for breakfast. No, not as you would have it in the South, where it would be like a side dish. You know, instead of having rice, you'd have hominy.
Right.
Nope. Although it's good.
Now this one, and the final one that he mentions in this collection, is a crawfish and shrimp pot with spiced sweet potatoes. I basically thought I discovered, this is going back 30 years ago, I made a fish stew like I would make a bouillabaisse or any number of versions of a fish or shellfish stew. And I added sweet potatoes. And I have to say that the combination, the flavors between the seafood broth and the sweet potato is phenomenal. And here it is being used as an Native American,
right. And
it's shrimp or Choctaw, which I guess that's another tribe, staples and traditional seasonings like, how do you pronounce filet? The spice that's ground from sassafras.
It's filet, like filet gumbo?
Filet gumbo, yeah.
Yeah, filet.
It's ground from sassafras bark, which I forgot. Mm-hmm. Spicy chilies are a perfect accompaniment. So with the filet and the chilies and the...
It sounds Creole and delicious.
Oh, and the sassafras apparently adds a grassy, slightly sour note, and the berries bring more color and tang.
So what tribe was that from? Because that's got to be...
Choctaw, C-H-O-C-T-A-W.
I want to look up where that tribe is from, because doesn't that sound Cajun? I mean,
absolutely.
If it's got filet and shrimp
sure
and...
In the Southeast. I'm sure it's in the Southeast.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think there's volumes more that we could learn about this, and I'd love to, in my spare time, try.
Really interesting. Really interesting. What's your go-to? So now after 6 days of the kids being here and eating super healthy, this morning when I woke up, there was one sticky bun left from, I made sticky buns the other day. So I had sticky buns. A sticky bun for breakfast, and I you know, always eat stuff and I feel completely guilty. What's your go-to guilt food? What's your, like, you know, something that's not good for you? It's bad. And you know it's bad.
Bad? It's really bad and I can't help it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a big, giant sweet tooth, so I don't tend to go toward things like sticky buns. My go-to things that are not great for you are savories, roasted meats that have way too much fat on them, garlic bread.
Oh, okay.
Garlic bread is one of those things I can't not eat it.
Right.
You know, when it's in front of me, I can not eat it, but it's very difficult. So anything with garlic and butter and bread.
Yeah, I'm a sweets person, I guess.
I mean, don't
I could not eat the sticky bun that was here. I forced Kara to take a bunch of them home because I was like, you can't leave these here. Like, I literally will eat all of these in one sitting. Like, so she.
Yeah, I could walk right by a sticky bun.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Walk I'm telling you what I've been making. I pretty much make them almost every time there's people in the house. Don't make him for Mario because he usually doesn't eat them. I mean, he'll eat it if it's there, but it's not.
No,
like
you eat them when there's people in the house because you know that if there's any left over, you give them away.
Exactly. Exactly. But they're so easy. They're, I mean, we're running out of time, so I'll go over the recipe next time. But it's Ina Garten's sticky bun recipe, and I make it with puff pastry and pecans and raisins and cinnamon and butter, and they're just delicious, and they're really easy.
Ina's one of my favorites. She has.
I love Ina.
She's just a real. She's kind of a purist in a way. I mean, she does. There's no hoopla about cooking, and she's just. You know, I think she's one of those real chefs that doesn't have to do 5-star to be amazing.
I love her. I really
she's a real
do.
Cook, you know.
She's pretty much my favorite culinary personality.
Yeah, she's up there. She's one of my favorites.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah. Love her.
So I did make your, we're running out of time, but I made your crock pot lemon chicken.
Oh, you did?
But I didn't, there was not enough lemon.
Oh.
So.
It's good. Hard. I'm going to make it again next week. My niece's little boy fell and broke his femur, and he's almost in like a whole body cast, so a bunch of us are getting together and dropping off meals. All right, so we are really out of time, so we're signing off, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening.